Good morning. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and welcome to the online edition of the Sunday morning preaching service of Harmony Baptist Church. We're glad you could join us. And today, we're going to be continuing our study through the Gospel of Mark. We're in Mark chapter 2, and we're going to be talking about forgiveness seen through healing. Forgiveness seen through healing. And that's from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So we'll get started. And the first thing that we see in verses 1 through 4 is getting people to Jesus. Getting people to Jesus. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. So the Capernaum was Jesus' base of operation, and the house is most likely the house belonging to Peter, Simon Peter, and Andrew. And so Jesus is kind of basing his operations out of that. And the rumor goes around town, or it is the information goes around town that Jesus is there. And so people come to visit. Of course, in that culture, hospitality was very important, and people couldn't call ahead, you know. So if they showed up, you were supposed to invite them in and host them. And so that's what happened. So it was noise that he was in the house, verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. So these people came, and they wanted to hear from Jesus. They wanted to see his miracles. They wanted to hear his wonderful teaching. And so that's what he did. He preached the word to them. There wasn't room to receive everyone in the house. That would be common in hospitality in that culture. And so those that couldn't get in the house just stood outside the door. And they listened to Jesus preach. And so he's preaching the word to them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. So here's a man that has some sort of paralysis. He is he's sick of what the Bible calls palsy here in the King James, but it's some sort of paralysis where he had weakened muscles, probably on one side of his body. He was paralyzed. And so his friends brought him. There were four people that brought him and carried this mat that he was on, which would have been the bed of a poor man. And so they carried this mat, and so they came to Jesus. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So they couldn't get in the house because the people were pressing against one another. There was such a crowd of people that they couldn't get inside the house. So they go up on the roof, and they do this weird thing that we wouldn't think of doing today in our culture. They knocked a hole through the roof, and they got him to Jesus by doing that. Now, I'm going to read a rather lengthy quote from the Expositor's Bible Commentary about this. And it says, in order to understand the action these verses describe, it is necessary to visualize the layout of a typical Palestinian peasant's house. It was usually a small, one-room structure with a flat roof. Access to the roof was by means of an outside stairway. Now, the roof itself was usually made of wooden beams with thatch and compacted earth in order to shed the rain. Sometimes tiles were laid between the beams and the thatch and earth placed over them. The four men brought the paralytic, verse 3, to the house where Jesus was. But when they saw the size of the crowd, they realized it was impossible to enter by the door. So they carried the paralytic up the outside stairway to the roof, verse 4. There they dug up the compacted thatch and earth, no doubt dirt showered down on those inside the house below. They removed the tiles and lowered the man through the now exposed beams to the floor below. And so they took extraordinary means to get this man to Jesus Christ. But they got him there. Now, The second thing we're going to see is that Jesus forgives sins and upsets the scribes. So that's in verses 5 through 7. Jesus forgives sin and upsets the scribes. And verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now notice the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. Their faith includes the faith of the man who was sick of the palsy, but it also includes the faith of his friends. And you know that Jesus sees our faith when we pray for people to get saved, when we pray for our relatives to get saved and our friends to get saved. Jesus sees and honors our faith in that. So don't quit praying and don't quit witnessing. These men were willing to do whatever it took to get their friend to Jesus Christ. And we need to be willing to do the same thing. You know, God uses means to save sinners. Salvation is of the Lord. It's a work wholly of God, but God uses means to save sinners. So God sends out missionaries. God uses gospel literature. God uses preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, the Bible says, to save them who would believe. And so God wants us to use means to reach people for Christ. We don't need to be like the people that spoke to William Carey in the 1700s when he wanted to go to India. And he met with the association, and the association, one of the members stood up and said, young man, when it pleases God to convert the heathen, he'll do it without your help or mine. And so William Carey, of course, found another way to get to India and started a Baptist mission board. So the point is that we don't need to be like that. We need to understand that God uses means, that God wants us to share the gospel, that God wants us to get the gospel out. And somebody says, well, if God does all the saving, if God takes care of it, why do we need to preach the gospel? Well, because it's what the Bible commands us to do. It's what the Bible commands us to do. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Romans chapter 10 says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And so the truth of the matter is that God's will is for us to go out and spread the gospel. He wants us to share the gospel, and he wants us to use gospel literature and every means possible, even extraordinary means, to get people to Christ. And God honors that faith. These men went up on the roof and they said, we can't get him to Jesus through the door, so we're going to go and tear a hole in their roof and lower him down. Incidentally, because it was the house of Andrew and Simon Peter, their roof, they were fishermen, of course, and people use their roofs a lot like we use pickup trucks. You know, they would throw their stuff in it. And so fishermen would have nets and line and rope and all kinds of things. And while they were up on the roof, they knocked a hole in the roof, then they could have used those things that were up there to tie and lower their friend down in front of Jesus. But they got him to Jesus. Now, the Bible says that Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, someone might think, well, why would he not just heal the man first and then say his sins were forgiven? But in the Old Testament, healing was tied to forgiveness of sins. And I'll show you this. And there was a purpose in this. 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And again, Psalm 103:3 says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thine diseases. So forgiveness of sins was tied to healing. And the Jews would put them together. Now, that doesn't mean that sin was always the cause of sickness. It wasn't always the cause of sickness. Sometimes it was. Sometimes it is today. But it wasn't always the cause of sickness. In John 9, 1 through 3, the Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" See, they thought if a person's got a disability, well, it's obviously caused by sin. "Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.'" You see, it was a common thing that sin was blamed for disease, and not much had changed since the time of Job. Job's friends showed up, and instead of comforting him, they listened to him mourn and complain about his state, and then they led him to him and told him, "Well, you've got to have secret sin. You've got to have hidden sin, or this would not have happened to you." And so thinking hadn't changed much since the early days of the Bible. Mark chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?'" The CSB Study Bible notes say the scribes supposed Jesus was blaspheming when they heard him declare the man's sins forgiven. Death by stoning was the prescribed penalty for blasphemy, Leviticus 24:16, John 10:33. And it was the charge of blasphemy was the charge on which Jesus was eventually executed, Mark 14:64. And so they in their hearts said, "Why does he speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" The Expositor's Bible commentary says that in Jewish teaching, even the Messiah could not forgive sins. That wasn't something they looked to the Messiah to do. He was to set up a kingdom, but as far as forgiving sins, no, that was the domain of God. Now, of course, Jesus Christ is deity. He is God. He's God the Son. But they didn't recognize that, and they did not think that he should be able to say, "Your sins are forgiven you." They thought that was blasphemy. Now, the third thing we see is that Jesus answers the scribes and heals the paralytic, verses 8 through 12. "And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, 'Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk?'" Now, some say that it's easier to say, "Your sins be forgiven you." And some say neither one of them is easier. Because if you say your sins be forgiven you, then you're opening yourself up to a charge of blasphemy. And if you say, arise, take your bed and walk, he better walk. So some say neither one of these is easy. But there's different ways of looking at this. But Jesus is doing something that the Jews commonly did, which is answering a question with a question. And so they question in their hearts, not verbally, but in their hearts, they say, "Why is he speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And Jesus says, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." He saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." Now, verse 10 may not be what Jesus said to the scribes, but rather what Mark is saying to his readers. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Because it's written kind of oddly. For one thing, he calls himself the Son of Man in that verse. Or Mark calls him the Son of Man. And Son of Man was not used until later on. So this is rather early in his ministry. And then there is the kind of aside in parentheses where he saith to the sick of the palsy. And it goes on to say. So this could have been written so that Mark's audience would know that Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, had power on earth to forgive sins. The title Son of Man, by the way, comes from Deuteronomy 7:13, and it's the first time it's used in Mark's gospel. So, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Either Jesus said this to them, or Mark is saying it through inspiration of the Holy Spirit to us, to his readers, so that they can know that Jesus has power to forgive sins, because he said to the man, your sins be forgiven you. But he says to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Now, if Jesus was blaspheming by pronouncing this man's sins forgiven, as the scribes thought, then he could not have healed the man. Now, understand that when Moses faced the magicians of Egypt before Pharaoh, the magicians of Egypt were able to work some miraculous things, but they could not work the kind of powerful things that Moses was able to do in the power of God. And the devil never heals. The Bible says the thief, speaking of the devil, is come not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Satan does not heal people. And so Christ could not have healed. In fact, later on, some people accused him of casting out demons in the power of the prince of the demons. And he said, Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. You know, if Satan casts out Satan, how can his kingdom stand? So, you know, the point is that Jesus, the fact that he was able to heal the man and say, arise, take up thy bed and walk, just instant healing, instant strength. The fact that he was able to do that shows that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. He's able to forgive sins. He's deity. He's able to forgive sins. A.M. Hunter said he did the miracle which they could see, that they might know that he had done the other one that they could not see. So he did the healing, which they could see, so that they could know that he had forgiven the man's sins, which they have no way of seeing. You can say all day long, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. But people have no way of knowing whether that's true or not. But the fact that Jesus healed the man and he took up his bed and walked, that showed that when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, that he really did forgive his sins. He did the miracle which they could see, that they might know that he had done the other one that they could not see. Verse 12 says, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen anyone heal a man and forgive their sins. We've never seen anything like this. We never saw it in this way, on this fashion. So we've seen forgiveness seen through healing. And today, we've never seen anybody like Jesus. We've never seen one who can heal, who can forgive, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead victoriously 3 days later. We've never seen anyone like the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as these men did everything they could to get their friend to Jesus, won't you today use means. Use the means that God has given you. Go after your friends. Go after your loved ones. Go after your relatives and tell them about Jesus Christ. Share your testimony. Give them a gospel tract. Invite them to church. But do something to win people to Christ, because just as God saw their faith, Jesus Christ will see your faith. I remember before the pandemic hit, we were talking about reaching our community, and one of my friends got the burden to just take some gospel literature from our church and go door to door, and he just went and hung the gospel literature on the door. If somebody answered the door, fine. And nobody visited, so far as we know, from where he went. Maybe somebody did, but as far as we know, nobody did. But we did have several visitors come after that. And so God saw his faith and honored that and sent us some visitors. And so God sees our faith, just like he did with these four that bore their friend on the mat and brought him to Jesus. And so today, whatever your problem is, bring it to Jesus Christ. And he can forgive you. He can heal. He can save your soul. Just come to him today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing. Please bless us. Help us to get our friends to Jesus. Help us to share the gospel. Please give us your touch this week. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.